ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on a Magic Monday when you achieve the unthinkable, a task that had only been done once in the history of your franchise. You won at Indianapolis. For only the second time in 15 tries, the Texans victorious. Wasn't pretty, wasn't something that you'd be calling textbook, but at the same time was just enough to keep you in first place in the division, basically taking the Colts and sending them on a spiral that basically has them as the ugly kid looking on the outside in, while the Tennessee Titans and your Texans duke it out down the finish and down the stretch, trying to hang on to that division title. Travis Johnson is to my left. Nick Sharara is behind the glass. We are here for you guys until 4 o'clock. You can reach us on the show throughout at 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. That means you can text that number or call that number. And if you want to tweet us, at TrapJ99, the man who made 99 famous before there was a JJ, there was a TJ. There's me, Pac-Man Joel, with a K, and let me make it all capital letters today because a statement was made for those of you that picked the Seahawks, you three others that will remain nameless, but I had a very good Sunday. And, of course, behind the glass is my man, No Hit Nick. So without further ado, I bring you the world traveler, the man that loves to get the tally going every now and then.
Well, I wasn't in tally.
Oh, because tally short for Tallahassee, for those of you that don't know Mr. Florida State. I also think tally short for tally whacker, but that's a different story, but go ahead.
No, I was in Orlando.
So oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
My nephew played in
Oh, that's right. I didn't know he was in Orlando.
Yeah, he's at Dr. Phillips High School. Played in the state championship game against Southridge from Miami. They lost a close one, man. But it was just good watching my nephew's last game.
He's getting recruited.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Got some big-time schools.
Michigan State, Louisville, Alabama. Well, I mean, he's got a few.
That's awesome.
He's got a few. I mean, he's only 17. He's only 17 years old,
but just
turned 17.
Rick James said that.
And 6'5", 250, outside linebacker. So he's getting there.
No doubt. And the fact that he's got Division I scholarships is all you need. That's pretty solid stuff. So, Nick, how was the weekend? Did you take in the Rockets game on Saturday night?
I did not. I just went, just really watched the Texans game from home, and I did catch a little bit of the Green Bay Seahawks game, but only the first part, like the first part of the first quarter. And then I enjoyed some of the Giants and Dallas game last night as well.
I watched that, too, for as much as I could stomach. But, again, I had a result in mind there that didn't happen. For the first time in my life, I was finding myself wanting the Cowboys to win for the sake that Packers beat the Giants, but the Giants have a better record. And it looks like you just need a wild card to be in the possibilities. I told you guys that I thought they'd run the table. I thought the Seahawks game was the one that worried me. Obviously, that's all with Rodgers being healthy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they don't win the division, I'd still like to get them in. And in order to get in, Giants are going to be one of those teams.
Yeah. I'm glad you're supporting all of your – for all you people out there in TV land, I mean, he has literally
– head to toe, baby.
Four G's on him, four Packer G's. He has a what color would that be? A cheese yellow? Is that the color of that of those?
In the green and gold scheme, that is gold.
It is in the green and gold scheme that is gold. I guess that's a good way of calling it.
Thank you. I'm very well versed with my team.
Yeah, you look nice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, after beating the Texans handily, and then coming back and getting that win against the Seahawks, I feel like I can be confident about my team again.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you. I understand. Yeah, you should feel confident.
Just like I'm open to free flow. I love it when my guys flow all day long and get their opinions out and do whatever they want. And that's why we have the three wees to four wees. Are we at four or five wees for Travis?
I thought it was just three. But
it's just the wee wees.
No, there's Florida State. Oh, then so there's Raiders, Chargers, Texans. So there's four
there. Oh, there is four, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else I'm missing?
No, but I just...
Well, yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, because your L.A. connection and all that. Dodgers are we.
Yeah, Dodgers are a wee team. That's definitely a wee. Dodgers are we before... Before the Raiders are we.
But the essential thing is that,
not really.
That we're family and we're all on the same team.
Yeah,
we got each other's backs.
We flow like the lady from the pad commercial.
I don't know the pad commercial.
The female napkin commercial.
Oh, that pad. Flo. I thought you said pad.
Like you remember
also because of the fact that we are, We give special shout-outs and props to our man Keenan McCardell, who was called back to Jacksonville this weekend for Alumni Weekend to be honored with the teams that had he and Jimmy Smith was entered into their Ring of Honor. And good to see pictures of Mac and all the old Jacksonville Jaguars, and he and Jimmy Thunder and Lightning back on the same stage was pretty cool as well.
Oh, no question. It's funny because what was it? Friday after the show, Gary Walker comes over to the house. I don't know if you remember Gary Walker.
Gary Walker's G-Funk. The one that cussed on the show on Friday if Nick didn't have a quick trigger finger.
So G-Funk goes, why y'all hung up on me? You didn't tell me not to curse. I said, G-Funk, we sat there and stopped the show.
Said it on the air.
Before you say, he said, well, I couldn't hear that. He said, oh, who's that guy who hung up on me? Let me come find
him.
I'm like, yeah, you might scare Nick, you know. Funk is always that guy that has
original Texan Gary Walker.
Yeah, he's a ornery little guy. He's an ornery big man.
And Antonio Smith, if you thought he was a cowboy.
Oh, Gary Walker's
a real cowboy.
Oh, no question. Real cowboy is not. I mean, he has what, three ranches? He just sold one of them. One is a 10,000-acre chicken farm.
Gary Walker was back in the Tony Baselli, the original expansion draft.
Yep. And, you know, the crazy part is there's always the rumor, or actually it's a lot of truth because I've heard it from a lot of guys, was the Texans never wanted Tony Baselli.
Really?
Because everybody knew he was hurt already.
Yeah. Jackson
was trying to move the money, but the Texans wouldn't take him. But the Texans wanted Gary Walker. So they said, if you want to take Gary, you got to take Baselli. So in order to get Gary, you got to take Baselli. And everybody knew. I mean, the funny part is the Texans gave Baselli more money when he got here. That's what everybody It was crazy.
Yeah, that's just nuts. We got a lot to talk about today. I got into an interesting mess this weekend because I'm a loyal person, as you guys know, and loyal to my man Demo. And Demo reached out to me, and we were talking throughout the weekend about his situation. So we'll break that down for you a little bit. I ended up tweeting out for Demo some things that kind of tried to bring some clarity to a very mucky situation down at the Big Sequoia. And Trap, you and I have talked about it, so we can talk about it for you guys. If you want Real Rockets talk, we'll get that to you. Heisman Trophy was awarded. We can talk about that. Obviously, break down the Texans game. Cheap shots in the NFL, Trap.
Oh, man.
A lot of them. And a lot of them to talk about. The Washington-Philly game, the Denver-Tennessee game, and even in the Green Bay game, and I got involved in a little bit of it with one of the Packers' offensive linemen last night, but we can talk about that as well. For the props that I give to how good Seattle's defense is, they have dirty in all capital letters in the way they play the game. So we can talk about that. And a big thing that you probably have a stake in and want to have chime in on, that's the concussion lawsuit that was brought to the grand jury and was rejected, which means the NFL has to start paying the players that big billion-dollar settlement. And that means you and Keenan, who have been going through all of the testing and everything else, that should be good for you guys. So Nick and I will be going to steak dinners. And we're happy about that. So we got tons to talk about. Plus, something that we talked about Friday, and it was fun because it was not an argument because people were open to accepting the thoughts of the other side. But that we say that it's a discussion, not an argument. We had a pretty passionate discussion going about Bill O'Brien and the Texans, and I thought it'd be appropriate to bring in a poll as the fans can chime in. If you want to give your opinion and or you can just do it from a poll perspective, are you okay with status quo? If the Texans win the division again and make the playoffs, that everybody stays. And on the flip side, are you kind of with me whether there's a hot seat or not? But if they take a step back, they don't win the division, and they don't get a playoff berth, are you expecting change to happen immediately? Something you can kick out amongst yourselves, or hit us up, 713-780-ESPN for texts and calls, or you can hit us up on Twitter up until 4 o'clock. We are, and always will be, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, my good friend, Nick Sharara behind the glass. The three-way of three-play as we are the Three Stooges, taking you till 4 o'clock before we turn it over to the Blitz with Fred and AJ. And we've got plenty to talk about. Trapp, first and foremost, from coming from a position of knowledge and experience, as you always do, you know how much the Texans have struggled to get a win in Indy. And at this point, especially with what was on the line, I don't think anybody cares how it got done, just the fact that it got done. I don't think people realize how big a win that was and could be, as opposed to had you lost, what it would have meant for all the boo birds that are going to continue to stay on, everything else, Brock, O'Brien, Rick, everybody else. And then the fact that it would have really put you in the back seat, maybe almost on the outside, looking in, trying to win the division, get in the playoffs. And if you stressed how important it is to at least get it, then win the division, get that opportunity. That's all they've got is the opportunity. I don't think there's wild card in their future. They've got to win this division.
Yeah.
So winning that game was, it was a monstrous win.
Yeah, no question. I think when you look at, and it was a good win.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't just like, oh, we beat them. It was a game where you had a little bit of struggle. Mm-hmm. It was a game where, you know, they come back. It had all the elements of good football as far as what you want to see them fight back from. You want to see when the score gets tight, how do they react? You want to see when they blow them out, what happened? You want to see, can we run the ball? Can we throw the ball? Can we do these different things? And I think they answered somewhat. They answered some of the I don't want to say the critics, because we are some of the critics, but I think they showed us a little bit of moxie this weekend. You know what I mean? They showed us a little fortitude, you know, intestinal fortitude to say, you know what, we're not going away, and we're not going away quietly.
Now, with all that being said, I was watching the game and had a little, you know, conversation going back and forth throughout the game with a lot of people watching the game, and there was plenty to still pick on. I mean, again, we say that Brock should have thrown at least one pick that was dropped right on the goal line in the red zone. And then you look at two other balls where I kept saying, I just don't understand why it's so difficult to not stare down your receivers. That's why I went back to a week ago when I said after the Green Bay game, when they were really successful, they were playing up-tempo in a muddle situation where he didn't have a chance to think and stare. It was just quick, get the ball, get it out, get it going, keep the offense moving. He just stares. I mean, for a defensive back, it's got to be a wet dream. I mean, he sees, when you look into his eyes, you know exactly where he's trying to get the ball to.
Well, I mean, and tell you the truth, it might not be his fault. It might be the coach, whoever's giving the plays in his ear. Mike throwing the play, Z motion, whatever, give him the whole rundown and then say, make sure you look at DeAndre first. Or make sure, you know, DeAndre's, you know, he probably knows his reads, but he's probably, somebody's like, DeAndre should come open. You know, you just never know, because we don't know if somebody's trying to micromanage the information in his ear and is putting him in that position. Because, I mean, no starting quarterback in this league is a normal look down guy. I mean, you look at Ryan Tannehill, as young as Ryan Tannehill was, as young as his body of work was, even when he got in the league from A&M, one of the greatest things that happened to him was that he had somebody who coached him at A&M be able to teach them how to go through his reads. I don't know if he's actually had – I mean, he's had the teaching, but I don't know if he's
– I just get so frustrated because he's staring right at guys. And if you're a D-back, you see that and you're like, I don't have to, like, guess – I don't have to try and jump a route.
Yeah, but sometimes your eyes will get you in trouble.
Well, Nick, you know what I'm talking about, though. On the goal line, that ball should have been picked.
It should, and I was just going to make a comment on that. But couldn't you make the argument that, like, that was a real difficult pass to make? I mean, the defender was right there, and had that defender not been there, he should have seen it, obviously. Well, I mean, it would have eventually landed to the receiver, right?
Yeah, but it would have. But here's the thing. In the end zone, that's why I don't – when you almost throw picks in the end zone – I don't blame the player, because when you look at the reason why it's so hard to score when you get inside the five is you got 22 massive people inside of a 15-yard window, if you include the end zone and the 5-yard line, and like, it's so much clutter, it's hard to get stuff in the windows. Windows are itty-bitty in that area. That's why you see a lot of people choose to try to run the ball in that area. That's why you look at back in the Super Bowl when Russell Wilson throws a pick, everybody says, well, why would you do that? Because the simple fact is there's too much traffic in that space, and even if somebody bats it up, a defensive lineman can pick it off.
Okay, but let's be honest. They weren't asking that question because they were wondering where he was throwing. They were wondering why they were throwing when you have Marshawn Lynch in the backfield.
But it's the same thing.
And you only got a yard to get.
And but I don't blame him. Like, stuff on the goal line, it happens. It happens on the goal. I mean, you remember a couple years ago, the 2-14 year when the Texans beat the Chargers, Phillip threw a pick on the goal line. Costing them big time. Yep. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a lot going on in that area. Every week you'll see a guy throw a pick. You go back to the Super Bowl with Warner and Pittsburgh, and you saw the pick he threw to James Harrison
at the end
of the half.
Yep.
It's so much clutter. It's bound to happen. It's only a matter of when it's going to happen.
But the first one was the same thing. I mean, here's what I'm saying. I can understand it, and I see your side of it. But this is something that we've seen before over and over again, and it's just been repetitive. And what I thought was the first half, I don't think I've seen that good a complete half of football for the entire team. You minus the interception on the one bad throw, and I think that for the most part, that was as complete a half as they've played in a month or more. And I was very, very encouraged.
Yeah.
But the second half, it just – look –
they got conservative.
Yeah, and the exactly took the words right out of my mouth.
Penalties too kind of picked up in the second half too, right, Trap? I mean, they really didn't have any penalties or any mistakes in the first half on defense, but in the second half, that's when the penalties really picked up.
Exactly, and it seems like they slowed the pass rush slowed down a little bit. I mean, the first half you saw what Jadavion was out there doing. You saw how he was being very disruptive. I mean, the fact that he was able to go out there with the elbow, with the hand, with the wrist. That was very encouraging.
Yeah. I tweeted the fact that you may not like him, you may not have agreed when they drafted him, but he is having a game-changing season for the team. The play he made when they needed it most was the game-changer yesterday.
Yeah.
And if you look at all the tackles for losses this season in the backfield, they are a different defense when he is on the field.
No question. And you know what? I hate when people always want to pick on they pick on stuff that they don't have to pick. Like, you don't pick at low hanging fruit of saying,
well, it ruins the flow.
Exactly, it ruins the flow. But you don't, like, who was it? Trey Wingo was like, Jadavion Clowney has, or Khalil Mack has, just as many sacks in the last six games, eight, as Jadavion has in his entire career. Who cares? Right. The kid has been hurt the entire time.
I was going to say, you have to factor in the injuries.
Yeah, the kid has been hurt the entire time, not to mention the Raiders hadn't been, before this year, wasn't winning too many ball games, so they had a lot of times to rush the passer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So we can continue to talk about the Texans if you want to talk about the Texans. Again, I stated this. Keenan and I got into a pretty good discussion on Friday. Do you think Bill O'Brien should be on the hot seat and or Rick Smith? And I threw it out today for you like this. If the Texans win the division and they get another playoff berth, are you okay staying status quo? And if they don't, because they are in a dogfight with the Titans now, do you feel like changes have to be made? I said, for as much as those guys are on the hot seat, I think Bill O'Brien's wagon is hitched up to Brock Osweiler, because Brock's got another year. They'll probably give O'Brien another year too. And because, to Travis's point, the owner really doesn't like change. But I want to hear from you. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. And right now I want to tell you about the Lone Star Shootout coming up this Saturday. A great event for anybody that loves basketball, especially college basketball. I know people in Houston get a bad rap about if they like college basketball or not. Well, when you've got four teams of the caliber that you're bringing into the Toyota Center this Saturday, you should go just for the entertainment value of seeing quality talent that could be very well NBA talent on a lot of these rosters. Texas A&M and top 25 ranked Arizona at 11 a.m., followed by Shaka Smart and the Longhorns against the Razorbacks of Arkansas at 1:30. Tickets are going fast, but they start at just $20. That includes both games. Bring the family and you have a full day of entertainment, including two college basketball games, for one low price. It's $20 a ticket, or you can go to Fuddruckers Family Pack, four tickets, four hot dogs, four drinks, and four coupons for free Fuddruckers sandwiches in the future, just $99. All tickets are at HoustonToyotaCenter.com or via phone at 866-4-H-O-U-T-I-X, 866-446-8849. Arizona, top 25 team coached by Sean Miller, always has NBA talent. UT and Arkansas renewing an old Southwest Conference rivalry. And of course, A&M and Coach Kennedy always put a good quality squad on the floor. Good college basketball, a great entertainment value for the family. Check it all out at ToyotaCenterTix.com or by calling 866-446-8849.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Travis has a blatant disregard for anybody's workload or timing or anything else, just as long as he gets what he wants. So
how you what how?
So basically, Nick has enough to do with his day.
Well,
but he basically has to play Name That Tune. But he has to not only name it, but he's got to play it. And he normally has however long a commercial break is, from 2 to like, I mean, that monster we have
Nick
at the end of 1 hour is longer.
Nick is prolific on the YouTube.
Right, but he feels pressure because you are talent on the show. So he feels pressure, like when you ask for him something like that, that's like me saying, Nick, I need Bill O'Brien quotes from talking about this.
So before I come on, do I need to get like a whole breakdown of how many songs I want played?
Yeah, it would be nice to give him a little bit of like a lead time.
But it's so
he could gather up what he needs to gather up instead of at a commercial break going, you know, this song was on my mind just about 30 seconds ago. Nick, when we come back from break, I need you to yank that one out and get it there, get it on the air.
I'm just worried that I don't recognize one of the songs because he's such a music guru that.
But I appreciate that.
But man, he's blowing that smoke up your hiney.
Well, but I've been pretty good about recognizing all the songs you've been throwing out there.
Yeah, you're right.
You're the musical guru too. You know pretty much everything except.
I really don't. I was actually pretty impressed that I remembered Young Ma, honestly, because I kind of forgot about her.
Although he did. You were out, and I will say that, Nick, I'm sorry in advance, but I will say this: I referenced Drew Hill.
Yeah.
One, Barry then started quoting Jodeci songs, which was completely
wrong. How do you mix up Jodeci
right,
and Drew
But it got
Hill?
Worse because Nick's comment was, I forgot about that guy. I realize Drew Hill is a group, right, Nick? Yeah. It was just like dead air. And I'm like, never mind.
You know they came back,
yeah,
right?
But then he brought up Cisco. That's right.
Yeah.
Did you know they back together?
No, I had no idea.
So the other day, I think it was the Soul Train Awards, they came out. And they did it together. Only one they missing is Woody, I think. Either Woody or Nokio is the only one they missing who's doing gospel.
Yeah, or Nokio. He's out selling phones.
Who's doing gospel music. One of them is doing gospel music. But they came out and they did the song. But it's so funny because they were supposed to get.
Tell me what you want.
And they did. Oh, you got to see the video. They did that. Man, they got the big.
We're not making love.
It was great.
No more. But, I told Nick he's got to get the Drew Hills. And then he played a Drew Hill song that literally sounded like we were playing it underwater.
Did it?
YouTube had played it so much that it sounded literally like it was in a glass of water. It was like, we're in a
little. Yeah, it was real scratchy. It was pretty bad.
Well, that was Thursday.
Yeah.
I was chiming in during that time.
No, it was the show with Barry. You weren't.
Yeah, I'm saying it was Thursday. It was chiming in. I was listening on it was a Thursday, the Thursday show, last Thursday show.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they were supposed to get back together about 5-7 years ago. And they come in a music studio and start beefing all over again.
That was like I said, because when Barry referenced Jodeci was my jam. I saw Jodeci like in concert 10 times. I would say 7 of those 10 times, they were missing at least one of them who had gotten arrested the night before.
Yeah, getting arrested or was on a,
Casey,
or had a big
JoJo,
bender.
Whatever. Yeah.
Casey!
Okay, easy.
Hey, I love Jodeci.
I love him too. So we've digressed into our musical beliefs. But yeah, you got to give Nick lead time and a pad, and he'll get all your tunes together.
Well, got you covered, man.
Even though there are certain people that think that because we're an FM station, we should play the songs that are featured on the dial on the FM side near us.
Well,
I'm just saying, hey, it's philosophy.
Kind of sounds like Clinton there. You could probably do a good Bill Clinton.
Oh, I can do a Bill. Yeah, I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Well, he did.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I'm trying to figure out why she kept the blue dress.
But see, you, the CTE with you, boy, you, it's like a blender, and then someone presses stop, and then it's like, we're just going to stick on that topic. And yeah, the listeners at home are going, this dude.
But I asked about the blue dress.
People love it, though.
You bought a Bill Clinton. I bought up the blue dress. Mm-hmm. I mean, she kept the
next
same
to bring up
blue
the
dress.
Devil who had the blue dress on.
And the devil in the blue dress, starring. Wow,
look at you putting two get. I don't know. Sounds like
Tom Hanks. Sounds like wasn't it Tom Hanks? Devil in the blue dress? Yeah.
Don't, you're just agreeing because you have no idea.
Yeah, I don't.
Exactly. All right. So before we switch topics, because we got plenty to get to, and if you guys want to talk about the Texans, please do. We had some calls we lost due to the break. Come on back if you get a chance. I'm not going to feel bad about the fact that you couldn't hold. I understand you got things going on in your day. But if you can come back, we'd be more than happy to have you. Overall, a good win for the Texans. But again, in no way, shape, or form are they out of the woods. Tennessee 1-2 in a game that I think most of us picked Denver to win. They went at home and beat the Broncos. So they're tied with the Texans for first place. Now, the thing the Texans have going for them is they're 4-0 in the division. So that's huge coming down the stretch. And they got another divisional game this week. So they've got Jacksonville, who hung in there with the Vikings to the bitter end. And I was really hoping they would do me a favor, too. And they just couldn't hang on and get the win. But they were in that ball game. So they're playing better football. So it's not a game that the Texans can look past. But I thought that after a subpar performance against the Chargers in the secondary looked a lot better. I thought the defensive effort overall and the fact that in the first half they held the Colts to 55 yards rushing, in which 33 was on one play on a quarterback scramble by Andrew Luck, and they also had 95 rushing at that time. I thought the defense played well. I thought the depth at running back was evident and that the running backs looked great. The secondary looked good. The one thing that everybody could just continue to point fingers at is still Brock. But in a situation where you know Tennessee is not going to be like coming out like gangbusters and opening up the offense and slinging it all over the place, Marcus Mariota is not the quarterback that even Andrew Luck is, at least not yet. So you just have to keep winning football games, and you put yourself in a position to have to go to Tennessee and beat the Titans in the last game of the regular season. And I really said all along, and I think Barry said the same thing, we just think that it's coming down to that last game of the regular season for the division. But if you win the division, then you're in. And then you've achieved the Travis Johnson smell test in order to continue doing what you're doing. But what if you don't? What if you don't win the division and you don't get in? Where does that put you? You and from a fan's perspective, from a franchise perspective, do you expect heads to roll? Should heads roll? Or are you still okay, Travis, with sticking with what you said of just, hey,
you got to stick it out one more year. I mean, in my opinion, you got to give a guy 4 years to get his stuff in play. When you don't give somebody at least 4 years to implement their system to get you back into the right flow. I think early on everybody was fooled because they said, oh, well, he went from 2-14 and took us to the playoffs the following year. But I mean, you got to remember, this was still a team that won 13 games 2 years prior to that, and
including the playoffs.
Including the playoffs. I just believe they weren't as good as we all thought they were. They were never as good as we all thought they were. I think we got to give them another year to really implement the system.
Well, I think more so than anything else, they're going to give them another year because whether the Brock experiment has gone well or not, I think Bill O'Brien is now permanently hitched to Brock Osweiler. And if he somehow snaps out of it and has a good year next year, I think everybody's fine. But I think that because they know Brock has to have one more year, you would do more damage than good if you made any changes in the coaching staff, especially with the head coach, because of the fact that he's already had to learn a new system. He's already had to get settled into a new environment. And if you had to ask him to do all that again, now you got a built-in excuse to say, that's tough on anybody, but to do it 2 years in a row and expect him to perform at a high level probably is asking too much.
Oh, no question asking too much. I mean, and the crazy part is everybody will make the excuse and say, oh, he didn't have this, he didn't have that. But nobody made that excuse for Alex Smith early on in his career where he went through seven coordinators and four head coaches.
And there's been a lot of guys that have had to go through. The Bears guys have had to go through a lot. Matt Stafford has had a lot of different guys roll through Detroit. it doesn't make it any easier.
No. Especially, I mean, you got to have – look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is the first franchise with three head coaches with 100 wins.
Chuck Knoll and my man Cower.
Cower. And now
– And now Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's stability. That's how you get to where you can continue to win.
Well, you got an anchor and a foundation that everything else is built around.
And that's how you continue to win games. That's how you continue to – they're giving them time. End of the day, Bill Cowher wasn't winning his first year there. Chuck Knoll wasn't winning his first year there. Mike Tomlin, he did win the Super Bowl his first year, but he also had a great team that he inherited.
Yeah, he took over in a good situation, you know what I'm saying? Cowher, too, yeah. Well, and the other thing I was going to get to, and this was a good transition, and I kind of skipped around a little bit when we're talking about that, what we were asking you guys to respond to. And again, 713-780-ESPN for texts and calls, and also hit us up on Twitter. There was a lot of cheap shots in the NFL yesterday, and you and I were talking off air about some of them. But in that Tennessee-Denver game, Harry Douglas laid a block on a running play that is legal, but is one of the most ridiculously, blatantly dirty blocks that you will ever see.
The play was away.
And it was on the other side of the field.
Other side of the field. It was not coming your way. The man wasn't even running to the ball. It's totally uncalled for. And everybody, you know, all the people who hate Aqib Talib, I absolutely love what he did.
No question about it.
I absolutely thought it was, that is the first thing you do. And to be honest, I would have, me personally, we would have said, forget what happens on this play. The entire defense is going to go after him right now, and we're going to make a statement. Let him score. We're going to make a statement right now, because you can't do that.
So that's what not, happened was on the initial play, right? On the initial play, when Harry Douglas laid the dirty block on Talib's teammate, and his name escapes me for
Harry Douglas.
No. Harry Douglas laid it on Chris Harris.
Chris Harris, yeah.
So Talib was very upset. So essentially what happened was after that skirmish and all the talk stopped, ceased, and another play was run, Talib ends up taking a shot at Douglas and then going at him, which just so happened to be right in front of the Tennessee bench. And then a melee ensued and you know, all hell broke loose, and Talib got a 15-yard penalty. But to a man, that's one of those penalties where every guy in your locker room not only backs you on it, but could care less about the penalty because they were so hot at what a dirty play it was. Now, Douglas is saying, you know, it's within the rules, and, you know, if you look at the tape, this is what I do.
Man,
it's just, you know, if you didn't see it, Talib not only was point blank in the post game, but said basically, in the offseason, we are very often in the same city, and if I see you, I'll kick your ass, Harry Douglas.
Yeah, and he's right.
I totally agree. Terry Bradshaw was in agreement. I think Bill Cowher was in agreement. Bart Scott was in agreement. Everybody that saw that play said if it would have made it less of a story if the ball was being run to his side of the field.
Yeah.
And it was a, you know, a sweep or an end around where he had to do something. But because it was on the other side of the field, completely away from the play and completely unnecessary, it just magnified it by that much more.
No question. I mean, and I totally agree. I mean, like I told you, when even Darren Sproles had got hit with a cheap shot as well this weekend.
I was getting to that.
And the first thing, just how Aqib Talib told him, if I see you in the streets, I call D. Sproles and say, hey, man, when the offseason hit, man, let me know, man, if we need to whoop this fool. Because at the end of the day, that was
uncalled. Shazer Everett hit Darren Sproles while his eyes were focused on an incoming punt that he did not fair catch in Shazer's mind, in Everett's mind, but that Sproles had already signaled for a fair catch on.
He signaled a fair catch.
Got his head ripped off, and now he's in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, he blindside blocked Brent Celek, the tight end, knocked him out of the game.
Yeah.
So to say that there was some anger in the Washington locker room as well would be another understatement. And then you take that and you take the three different episodes that happened in the Packers-Seattle game with the Seattle defense, and we can get to those. But it just seems like there was a plethora of dirty hits going on in the NFL yesterday.
Yeah, it was. And I think, I mean, I don't want Goodell to get involved. I think the players need
but
to get involved.
You know he will.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's a problem all in itself. And then, you know, everybody's begging for the fines to be handed out anyway. And then you got the whole Pac-Man Jones situation with Terrell Pryor.
And
I got to believe, for as much as Terrell Pryor tries to look like the innocent one and take the high road, between Janoris Jenkins and Pac-Man Jones, you have to be doing and saying something to instigate guys going out of their way to call you out after games and really attack you. And you're on a winless football team. So we'll talk about all that and more without taking you out of your flow. We want to make sure that we have a place to go, and that is, we'll be back in a minute. This is ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Welcome back, Joel Blank and Travis Johnson show. Hey, so we got some breaking news, man. Nick, what we just got come across the main line?
So it looks like the Rams are finally done with head coach Jeff Fisher. He gone.
He gone. You know what? That's actually a pretty good fire right now. I mean, because when you think about it, the guy's the all-time. I'm glad they let him stick around and become the all-time losing his coach in NFL history. But it's just ridiculous for the simple fact is it took this long, and the fact that it just broke that he got a 2-year extension. I wonder, was that like a severance package or something?
I have no idea. I don't know how much money they're going to have to pay him to make his exit now. But that's just crazy news coming down the wire.
It's absolutely hilarious.
We always,
man,
talk about Bill O'Brien and whether or not he's on the hot seat, and we've mentioned Jeff Fisher as a guy that should have been on the hot seat for a while.
Oh, he definitely should have been. I think he had pictures on somebody to the point where they left him around. They kept him around. You know, the crazy part is his agent is the GM's son. So it was conflict of interest in the first place.
Right.
You know, so at the end of the day, I think it's a great fire. It's about time. Being this guy has, I mean, him, Dan Reeves, and Tom Landry, the fact that he's mentioned Tom Landry in this category, Jeff Fisher has 165 losses, Dan Reeves 165 losses, Tom Landry is 162 losses. I think it's perfect that he's finally out of the building.
You can't be mad at him. He's going to get 2 years free.
Yeah, and that, no question.
Right? And this year and two more he's still paid for, but for a 50-50 coach. We were talking about the two guys that are labeled as the guys that probably have the golden halo, Jeff Fisher, and then, right or wrong, Marvin Lewis, because he kept his job after everything he had to endure with Burfict and Pac-Man Jones and all the crap and all that other
stuff.
He's
supposed to keep his job.
And I think Marvin Jones is a very good coach.
Marvin Lewis.
I'm sorry, Marvin Lewis, right. I think from the standpoint of Jeff Fisher, even when he was here, he got extra time because he had to move the team to Tennessee, and that was going to be a quote-unquote trying period. He's always had a scapegoat and a way out to where it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. You look at his track record at the end of the day, he's a 50-50 coach.
Yeah. He's an 8-8 guy.
Yeah,
he's
8-8 guy.
He's an 8-8, 7-9 guy year in, year out.
You look at Hard Knocks, he tried to be someone he's not. He tried to be a little bit more tougher.
Yeah, but everybody knows he's always, for the most part, he's always been a player coach.
Yeah.
So the tough act, I think.
I'm saying, so he did that for the camera.
Yeah, he did. And
I think when you lay down and you saw a team, and to Keenan's point on Friday about when you lose the locker room or you just can't get to him anymore or for whatever reason, they laid down yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
They took an absolute punishment that no one wants to take, and you only do that when you're just absolutely tired of all of it. So I don't feel bad for him because he's going to get paid no matter what, but that was a long time coming for the Rams.
A long time coming is not just the word. I mean, when you look at their roster, they have some guys on that roster.
Todd Gurley, who is
a pretty
talented
stud. Guy. I think that yesterday,
his comments
was his comments in calling the all. He said, "Man, this." We said we out there looking like a middle school offense.
Yep.
And all due respect, a middle school offense would look better than they looked yesterday.
Yep.
You know, I think that right there was the camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure, even because it was a home game yesterday for them, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was a home game.
Because it was a late game.
It was a late game. It was a home game. So I'm pretty sure that Kroenke probably called.
First of all, Kroenke's a big Fisher guy.
Yeah.
So I would think that it came down to the general manager going, look, we probably have to do something as much as you like this guy.
But Kroenke's not it's not
because he's a hands-off guy. He's not there a whole lot.
But it's not Kroenke that's the big Fisher guy. Everybody in the league for the most part is a Fisher guy. Everybody likes Jeff Fisher. But when you think about it, the guy's agent.
I can't believe
the guy's agent is the father of the GM of the team. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, the guy that people don't like is COO Kevin
Demoff.
And that's Dickerson. Eric Dickerson, when we went through all that and we had him on the air, said Kevin Demoff and Jeff Fisher
His agent is Marvin Demoff. His agent is the father of Kevin Demoff. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well,
regardless of the fact that
Fisher ends up with a golden halo and golden parachute for two more years. A change is coming with the Rams. Breaking news that they just fired Jeff Fisher, so that's out there. And then you start looking at who's going to replace him. Because in L.A., that's a pretty salty job these days.
It's got to be a
thoroughbred
name.
For a running back.
You know, and I hate to say this because he just got a job an hour, 2 hours ago.
Talking about Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin would not surprise me at all. If they offered him the Rams job.
With all the bad blood in the city with the Raiders and how all that went down, you think they'd consider him before they'd consider even top coordinators in the NFL, let alone guys that were NFL guys, Lovie Smith, and guys that are out there that have an NFL coaching pedigree that may not even be, either they're not coaching at all or they may be coaching in college?
Yeah,
I'm just thinking about potential guys that are still out there. I think, you know, Gruden would be a guy.
Gruden's not coming back to coaching.
You think he's just going to stay in the booth?
Why not? He just saw a new deal.
I would wish that Gruden and Van Gundy would both. They're much happier people as human beings in better spots because they're so bought into living and dying and breathing and sleeping when they're a head coach.
Exactly.
I wish they'd both stay there.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to think, he's getting $5 million just talking about football, and he's doing such a great job.
Is that true?
Yes.
Gruden's getting $5 million a year from ESPN, Nick. Can you look that up?
ESPN. You think that number just blows out of...
Yes, I do.
I just blow the number out of my behind?
I do think you would just throw that out.
All right. Well, well it'll be verified.
Can I just say that there's enough room for inventory in that behind? That it is possible?
It is. Yeah. It is. Especially
Nick, have you ever heard that? Gruden's making $5 million a year for ESPN?
I haven't heard. I couldn't confirm that, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean...
Well, that's a lot of money, man. Because I don't think Charles was making that with TNT until maybe his new deal.
But he's the Monday night guy. He's everything.
That's interesting. So that's something to look at, too. Jeff Fisher was just fired. Dr. Dre on 290 is a big fan of Jodeci's Forever My Lady, regardless of the comment that he made, but it was funny. So we are out here on Twitter as well, so that you guys can tweet us throughout the show, and we can get to your tweets as well. So join us. We got one in the books, two to go. Trav, it always goes so fast when we're having fun.
And I apologize. It's $6.5 million.
John Gruden made $6.5 million this year. Why would you leave?
There is no point to leave.
And you work one day a week.
I mean, he studies now. He studies.
Oh, no. And he's got the Gruden quarterback camp. And all that stuff. Look, and I love what he does, but like I said, show his true personality when he's relaxed and having fun.
Because of how much they pay him, ESPN made him move his Gruden camp, his Gruden grinders, to Orlando to be at the Wide World of Sports so they can do everything right there on site.
That's awesome. Well, we know that John Gruden's not going anywhere, but who would you suggest to be the next coach of the Los Angeles Rams? Because Jeff Fisher is now out with his 2 years guaranteed and an extension that he signed before the season. And now there's someone that they're looking to put in. You let us know. Aaron, we see you waiting on the hot seat. We'll get you in next because you want to talk about the actual hot seat. And we'll get to much more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.